Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Well, guys, we're coming off the bye. We're headed to Denver. But you look at this depth chart. What's the status of the Patriots right now?
Dubious.
Dubious, you say? Tell me more.
Well, I think you have a lot of moving parts.
You say?
You know, guys that we were holding out hope for. There was, you know, Dante Hightower wasn't technically on IR, and then he went on IR. Shea McClellan was practicing, and we thought he was going to be the guy that would return until he didn't return. So you already used up one of your designations to return. The defensive line has some questions. We bring in your guy, Fred. Ricky Jean-Francois,
RJF,
because Malcolm Brown is banged up. I think there's a lot of questions on this. Yeah. Oh, Chris Hogan.
And there's a couple of things, too, you know, in regard to what you kind of thought. You go into the bye week, and the trade deadline's coming. You make the big deal with Garoppolo, and I think a lot of people thought that was the first part of a two-step plan. It was going, you know, maybe that draft pick that you acquired was going to be used to pick up somebody on defense that could help out. That didn't happen. And then, as Andy said, McClellan's a guy that you were kind of targeting for a midseason pickup, a guy who played all of last year, absolutely could contribute on defense. I don't think he's a star by any means, but he could help. Well, and that front seven is thin, and now you don't have any of those.
Yeah, guys. When you're talking about depth, he definitely could have helped. Yeah.
And he was versatile. You know, we talked about he's, you know, sort of a poor man's Hightower. He has similar skill set where he can play outside, inside, off the line, give you a little bit in the pass rush. They don't have a lot of those guys. Vannoy already plays. He's one of those guys, but he already plays. Cassius Marsh is more of an undersized edge guy. And then you have, you know, David Harris and Alandon Roberts are sort of just inside linebackers, play the run.
Run
so
stuffers.
That second level there at linebackers is lacking depth and lacking sort of high-end options.
Yeah, definitely. And then you move up to the, you know, the line itself. And a guy like Malcolm Brown who, you know, never really missed a game since he's been here.
Yeah, he's been very durable.
Yeah, he hasn't been at practice, missed the last game, had a week to recover, and still isn't out there. So they had to make that move to add a little bit of depth in the front line anyway.
Yeah, and you wonder, you know, if Vincent Valentine's going to be part of that mix going forward, and we haven't seen him yet. And, you know, they lost one of their return from IR designations with the way the McClellan thing came out. So, yeah, it's a little bit shaky. You know, dubious was the word you used, Andy. I like shaky better. I think shaky would have been a better word. But the lack of
more negative
the
than
lack of depth is, I think, was the dubious part of it. It's not necessarily guys that can't play, but they don't have I don't think right now they have enough of them.
And it's skating up thin ice.
It's a two-layer issue. If you had Dante Hightower playing behind a newcomer like Jean-Francois. Then I'd feel, but now I lost my linebacker and I lost my defensive lineman. Last time we saw them playing run defense, it wasn't very good. They were giving up some big yards against the Chargers. But also Bill was using a lot of run blitzes with Roberts and said that's how he fortified the issues on the defensive line, which are still an issue heading into a Denver game where they're not the best running team ever, but they want to run. But they're going to try to run.
That's how they want to go after you, so you're going to have to be ready for it.
Well, the good news as far as defense, it looks like Stephon Gilmore could be back on the field. I think that helps. I know that he's been sort of the punching bag the first half of the season when you look at the defensive problems that they had early. But I think they're a better team with him out there.
Yeah, I mean, I would tend to agree. I think, but it would depend. Do you get the guy that as Andy called for in that Bucs game, you go out and play man and maybe simplify things? And I thought he played much better than he had previously. If you get that guy, there's no question that you're a better team with Gilmore on the field. But if you continue to have communication problems, and he's part of that, now I think Eric Rowe was also part of that, and he is still not back in the mix yet. So you sort of wonder how that's all going to come together. But I agree with you. You have now you got some experience for guys like Batamosi and Jonathan Jones. Now you have some extra depth there. So it's kind of a different situation in the front seven. In the back, I think maybe you're as healthy as you've been in a little while.
But I do think they still need to prove it. He's a better player. There's no doubt you are more talented when he's on the field. Are you a better defense? Because we saw a month into the bye where points were down, and for most of that, he wasn't part of the defense, right?
Yep.
So he needs to fit in, you know, get in where he fits in and improve. Now, maybe this is another matchup game. Maybe they say Demaryius Thomas is a big receiver. You do well manning up with big receivers. Maybe they go that route. I doubt it. I think you're going to have to mix it up a little bit in this game, try to confuse Osweiler, not let him get too comfortable back there. But prove to me that you can be better with Gilmore in the mix.
Yeah. On the other side of the ball, I don't know the status of Chris Hogan. He wasn't at practice earlier in the week.
Dubious.
Dubious again.
Yes, I'm going dubious with Chris Hogan.
Yeah.
NFL Network said MRI was negative, but he's going to miss a few weeks. No surgery necessary. I'm dubious that you'll see him in Denver. That means you've lost another sort of clutch playmaker. Not the most important guy. It's not Brady or Gronkowski.
Yeah.
But there's been times when it's 3rd and 11, 3rd and 12, and Chris Hogan gets you 16 yards with connection with Tom Brady. There's a comfort there. I know a lot of people this week have talked about Philip Dorsett. Maybe he needs to take on a bigger role in this offense moving forward. He's only got 4 catches all year. We'll see, but you lost a guy.
And we have 3 more this week.
Okay, good
and
to know.
You've made that prediction. You did that during the course
of the
week.
For how many yards?
3 for 29.
29. Oh,
okay. So a
quiet,
big play receiver
quiet
will
3
not
catches,
get
but yeah, yeah. You know, that was the PFW in progress prediction. We'll be monitoring that on Sunday. But it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility for Dorsett to be in a bigger role, not just because Hogan's out, but we've seen sometimes when guys have been sort of fairly new to the equation, you see coming out of the bye is when Belichick maybe decides to expand
release
the role.
Release the
hands? Yeah. See, we had a couple of extra weeks here to get guys. I mean, I don't know exactly how that's going to unfold with Dorsett, but maybe he's a bigger part of the equation in the second half than he was in the first half.
Well, certainly, other than Chris Hogan, it looks like the Patriots are relatively healthy on the offensive side of the ball.
Right tackle's a question.
Yeah.
Marcus Cannon didn't finish the Chargers game, went out in the end of the second quarter there, has missed practice time. LaAdrian Waddle, I thought, did an okay job in that game. Now, clearly their game plan was get rid of the ball. And they may have the same game
plan
this time.
It's got to be the same, right?
Von Miller and company, maybe it's the same thing. LaAdrian Waddle has proven himself, I guess, a 4A player. Maybe he's not quite starting level, but he's started a few games for them now, and it hasn't fallen apart.
Yeah, I mean, definitely Denver can bring the heat. We know that every time the Patriots play Denver, there's at least one hit that you cringe at.
You say, TB12, let him get up. TB12,
right.
Let him get up.
Right.
And Fred, you'll be the first to point out, and once again, the game is where?
In Denver, as it always is.
Denver only plays home games.
That's right.
They're like Notre Dame in that regard.
Occasionally they'll play on the road, but that's just for show. It's going to be tough. It always is tough in Denver.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? And also brought to you in part by Fisher Plows. The legacy rolls on. Visit FisherPlows.com.
This week's From the Heart, we look at the matchup in the passing game. Patriots' number one passing attack against that fourth-ranked Broncos pass defense. Von Miller's a big part of it, and the pass rush, certainly. But in the back end, 3 very good cornerbacks, 2 Pro Bowlers, Aqib Talib and Chris Harris, but also Bradley Roby. Bill Belichick knows it's a challenge.
We have 3 outstanding corners, Roby, Harrison, Talib, Stewart, his very physical safety, Simmons taking over for Ward, and they're good across the board, outside to inside, front to back, back to front.
Certainly the Patriots will try to get rid of the ball quickly, throw underneath and over the middle of the field to Rob Gronkowski, who has 7 touchdowns in 7 career games against the Broncos. But at some point, Tom Brady is going to have to challenge the edges, make some plays to his receivers, Brandon Cooks, Danny Amendola, maybe Philip Dorsett. But he needs to be careful because those cornerbacks, among the best in the NFL.
The Patriots are certainly facing a daunting task on the road in Denver, a place they haven't had a lot of success over the years. But I think the key this week is to get off to a fast start. I think the Broncos defense is as good as it's ever been, but they're really getting beaten down by that offense. So I think if you can get off to a fast start, get a 3-and-out on defense, let that Broncos defense know that this is not going to be the week their offense gets it in gear. Make sure you get the lead early on, you get ahead, and I think the Broncos will quit. So I think, and I know Bill Belichick says this all the time, we're always trying to get a fast start, but this week I think it's more imperative than ever.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Trash Talk this week, we look at Denver, the House of Horrors. Or is it, Paul Perillo? Are you worried about Denver, the place, as much as you are Denver, the team?
Yeah, this particular year, I think the bigger task is Denver, the place, because I don't think the team is all that good. And I think when you look at teams in venues that are most difficult to play in the NFL, certainly the altitude I am not dismissing. That's a big part of the home field advantage. But I think over the years, a lot of those times the Patriots went there, they played against very good football teams. This isn't one of those years.
And you know what else? The Patriots in a lot of those years were also a good football team.
Yeah.
This year, I think it's a little different. I think the Broncos are down, but so too are the Patriots. We saw the first half of the season. Virtually every game came down to the wire. You were in dogfights, like you've been at times in Denver. The Denver defense still has talent.
And I agree.
I think if you let them be in the game, they can certainly make plays. But I also fear just the House of Horrors. It's too many times. It goes back to 2001. 3-7 in trips to Denver over that span. And that's Belichick and that's Brady, a lot of other guys. So there's something. I don't know if it's the air, the crowd, whatever it is, something happens in Denver and it ain't good.
Yeah, there's no question. I can't argue against those numbers.
So I win.
Those are factual. But I think that there's a little nuance to it that we're ignoring. And I think that, again, when you look at some of the teams, you know, a couple of years ago they lost to the Super Bowl champs in Denver twice in the same season. Yeah, in 2015 to the Super Bowl champs.
To Brock Osweiler.
This team lost at home to a team that only has one win. That one win was in Denver, the New York Giants. Among the worst teams in football, a complete mess.
They also beat up on the Cowboys.
The Broncos lost four games. Yeah, but that was a long time ago, Andy. They've lost their last four games. They're in disarray. Right now, I think their defense is waiting to quit, and if the Patriots give them a reason to quit, they will. It's just not a really good football team. It all starts on offense, where whether it's Simeon or Osweiler, they can't protect the football.
So we're saying that the Broncos aren't as competitive as, say, the Chargers?
No.
I'm exactly saying that. Taking you down to the wire.
No, the Chargers are one of the teams that shut out the Broncos 2 weeks
ago. So the Broncos are competitive with the Chargers,
the team
you barely beat.
They're not competitive with the Chargers.
Oh,
they got blown out by them.
So they're competitive with the Cowboys. All my point is on any given week in Denver, the Broncos are a good football team, and they still have the defense to do it. Is Brock Osweiler the guy for a season? Hell no. Is he the guy for 4 weeks? No. But against a Patriots pass defense that, to me, still has something to prove, where everybody that they've faced, for the most part, has had success through the air, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, and if they get C.J. Anderson going, the ground game going, oh, by the way, you're banged up front, that's an issue. And then I mix in everything else because I don't know what a factor the air is, the weather is, the crowd is. All I know is the numbers don't lie. The Patriots have beaten up on everybody everywhere for the last 15, 16, 17 years, except for the Broncos in Denver. It's either a loss, an overtime, or a dogfight.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner and New England's best ticket source for all Patriots games. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason?
As you know, the NFL loosened its rules around touchdown celebrations, and as a result, we've had some great moments like this, the now famous potato sack race. I love it. What worries me, though, is that show of emotion in the end zone might move to the field, and not always in a good way. While the Jets turning the field into a nightclub between snaps, or players celebrating a good play, to an extent, is cool, the recent spate of altercations is not. A.J. Green, Mike Evans, Carlos Hyde, all were victims of their own emotions. When you're part of a team, showing emotion is good, but unbridled emotion can get in the way of the ultimate goal, winning. And when it comes to winning, it's not about one play or one score, it's about the final score. After last week, it might be a good time for head coaches to give their players a little refresher course.
Players' Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
This week, our special guest is defensive end Dietrich Wise. And first bye week as a professional, I'm just curious, how'd you spend it?
Well, I spent it relaxing, just taking some time off. Went to New York, saw the Empire State Building and Statue of Liberty. It was pretty cool. Me and my girl went there, came back, and just relaxed for the last few days.
I know you're a young guy and you're probably not maybe as beat up as some of the other guys that have been around the league, but still, you know, the bye comes at a perfect time, right in the middle. Mm-hmm. Good chance to sort of rest and get the body recuperated a little bit?
Yeah, most definitely. I liked how it was like, you know, eight games, and I use this time just to relax, give me my body back right, massage, cold tub, hot tub, recovery, so then I can finish the stretch out strong.
Now, you've been part of a defense that's playing a little bit better as of late. You know, the points against have been way down the last three or four games. How do you feel like sort of it's coming together in the front seven, the run defense and some of that stuff? How do you feel that's been coming together?
I feel like it's been coming along great. Coaches keep telling us to do our job, and I feel like that's what we're doing. Our chemistry is getting better, and over a period of time, you can see the results on the field.
Now you have a chance now. You're gonna head to Denver coming out of the bye. You know, a little bit of a different atmosphere. I'm just curious if you talked to any of your teammates or the coaches a little bit about, you know, playing in the altitude and if you've had any experience doing that.
Never had any experience about playing in Denver. Looking forward to it. Talked to a few guys, but like I said, I never played there, so I don't know.
And you're also going to have sort of a unique opportunity here. You're going to stay on the road for the full week.
Yeah.
After that, you're going to head to Mexico City and play. Obviously, that's a different schedule than you're used to in college. Just wondering if you've talked to maybe any of your teammates about what to expect or if there's any changes, any differences in the preparation.
Actually, I haven't talked to anybody yet about that. I haven't came around to it. But I feel like it's just putting two away games back-to-back, so just pretty much away game, and just, I guess, keeping your mind focused on the first game and then on the second game.
And I just wanted to ask you here before I let you go, you know, a lot of talk, you know, I sort of alluded to it, you play eight games and you have a little bit of a break, a little different than the college season.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of been winding down now if you were in the SEC.
Yeah.
The rookie wall, I mean, have you talked about that? Have you thought about that, or you just try to keep that out of your mind and stay as fresh as you can and just business as usual?
Yeah, I don't personally believe in the rookie wall. Nothing that ever crossed my mind. Never heard about it. People may say it, but I feel like as long as you keep your mind focused on what you have to do, there is no wall.
It's just one of those things, if you just pretend it doesn't exist, it doesn't happen, it's not a big thing?
Well, I feel like if you get distracted or something like that, then that may happen to you. But if you're focused on what you have to do, then you can break through any wall.
Good luck in Denver.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
All right, it's that time of the show when we answer the questions that you sent to askpfw@patriots.com. This first one comes from Seth Nelson, and he says, what's up with Philip Dorsett? The Patriots have seemed to modify their offense when Julian Edelman went down, and I do not see a lot of offense from the slot receiver position. I would have thought that Dorsett could have helped there.
Well, Dorsett's not a traditional Julian Edelman-type receiver. He's an undersized, speed-based, outside-type receiver, probably closer to Brandon Cooks than he is Julian Edelman. I think you'll see him more active in the offense over the second half of the season. But when we've seen snippets of him, it's been mostly deep balls and plays down the field. He's had some chances. He's gotten behind the defense. Brady's missed him a couple times. But if you're looking for him to be Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, you've miscast.
Well, is there a chance that we might see more underneath because Hogan might be out?
Well, it'll be Danny Amendola if you do.
Well, yeah.
I don't think you'll be asking Philip Dorsett to do
okay.
That.
All right. Okay. Fair enough.
Even if he does get three catches for 29 yards.
I'm going to talk to Paul now. Brett Larson writes in, Bill Belichick was candid about the Tom Brady and Garoppolo situation, describing it as unsustainable.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Belichick has known this for quite some time, so why would he trade Jacoby Brissett to the Colts for a receiver?
It's a fair question, and I think in retrospect you looked at it, you sort of left yourself without a backup or you could have bought yourself a couple more years. But I think the bottom line with Brissett was they didn't really value the player. And I think if you read between the lines of when they dealt him and how, and then even Brissett talking about it, he wasn't going to be here regardless. If they didn't make the deal for Philip Dorsett, I think Jacoby Brissett was going to get cut. Now, I'm not saying that they're right, wrong, or indifferent about that, but I don't think they had as much value for the player as maybe some fans do. And I also don't want to get too lost in what Brissett's done as the Colts quarterback. I love the kid, and I think the world of him off the field. I'm not sure he's a great quarterback yet, and I don't think he's played great. I give him a lot of credit for mixing in as quickly as he has, but I'm not sure that, you know, he's the next great thing.
All right, Brent writes in, is Trey Flowers being slowed down by some type of injury, or are they asking him to do different things? He doesn't seem to be able to get after the passer like he did last year.
Well, I think part of it is the guys surrounding him. There's not as much talent around him. Part of it is the way he's being used. Coach Belichick talked this week about how they've asked him to do more things this year, some things that don't necessarily benefit him personally, but they benefit the entire front and the entire defense as a whole. But I would say the biggest issue is he's now the big dog. He's the best pass rusher on that front. He's the guy that's going to get the most consideration, whereas in the past, I think there were more options to spread that front out a little bit more. So, you know, that's the problem. When you go from sort of the C player to the A player, the other team notices and they stop you.
More attention.
Yep. Justin Phillips writes in, so with Garoppolo trade being finalized, what do you personally think the best strategy is moving forward? Do you think they'll keep Hoyer for the full 3 years until they find a suitable talent for Brady to rub off on?
I would be very surprised if that happened. I think that probably the next draft, the 2018 draft, they're going to be looking for a quarterback. Now, it all depends if you can you can go into a draft with the idea of taking a quarterback, and then if you don't get the one that you want, you got to go to plan B. But I think as soon as possible, they're going to find a guy that they want to start to groom and do this process over again. It's not easy. Bill Belichick has taken a lot of quarterbacks in the draft, and I don't think that he's felt a lot of those guys had the potential to replace Tom Brady. I think he felt like that with Garoppolo. The challenge is now finding another one.
Yeah, I'd be looking right now.
Yeah, no question.
All right, that's it for this week's questions. Every week, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.